page with me to Mark 14, verse 43 to 50, and we're also going to read from verse 66 to 72. I want to talk about my sermon. The theme this morning is when the fire alarm is activated. I want to borrow a concept, or want to use a metaphoric concept this morning about the fire that refers to the crises or the challenges. Not giving my sermon away too early, but that's what I mean when the fire alarm is activated. What do we do when the fire breaks out? In England, I remember, you know, they've got so many procedures when the fire alarm is activated. You're supposed to know where's the rendezvous point, what you're supposed to do, who you need to ask what to do. I think we're not so into it over here. We've got more cowboys that will take on the fire here. There they will run away from the fire, and still also good. And nevertheless, well, I want to talk about the fire, when the fire in life breaks out, when there's a fire. And we can go to Mark 14. It's the story of Jesus about the last few hours, last few before he's crucified. And it starts in Gethsemane, verse 44. And I've got a new Bible. It's like a new horse. It needs to be break. You know, you break them in. I'm still, my eyes are not used to this, but the other one is falling apart. 1444. Did I say 44? Yes. 43. Sorry. I'm sorry. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him, and they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but let the scriptures be fulfilled." And then verse 50, "And they all left him and fled." And then we can jump to verse 66. Story about Peter. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, This man is one of them. But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. I want to take another angle this morning from about the story. We've heard it several times, so many times, but the story plays, or we find the story in Gethsemane, where it's the final hours of Jesus, where we find him, that his disciples is with him. We know the story that he went praying, and then eventually the soldiers turn up. And Judas betrays Jesus. And then verse 50 says, then they all fled. I think that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, the fire broke out. Something the disciples didn't see coming, although Jesus predicted that. Something happened, because if they knew what was coming, they probably would have acted differently. I don't know. But something tells me that they didn't see this one coming. That even though Jesus told them, and he told them in so much words, but when the push comes to shove, when the pawpaw hit the fan. And I want to talk about relationships this morning, about our marriages, about our church. Wherever we are standing in a relationship this morning. None of us can say this morning, as a human being, "I'm not in relationship with any person." Then you're an island. Then you're not a human being. But I want to talk about relationships tonight. We're going to carry on that. And I just believe that God wants to give us keys this morning to close the door for the enemy. Because we are at a time where we are under intense pressure. And I don't want us to manage relationship. I want us to allow the Lord to come in and give us the keys. And anyway, in coming back to the scripture here, disciples fled in all directions the moment when the fire came in. When the crisis hit them. What do you do with the things in life which you didn't expect to come your way? Your relationship. Now I have to get a few people that need to help me to preach here. Carol, I need you. Mark and Christine, maybe. I need you too. I need Ruan and Marika. And then I need, we joined the church in the last year or a few months. That you signed the form, actually. You actually became a member. Not trying. I know, Abigail, you're not looking. You're trying to look away, but I know you, I won't put you in the spot. You can be. You can quickly come to the front. I just want to. You're just going to help me preach here this morning. I forgot my sermon, so I'm going to hand over to you in a moment. And then you're going to preach on relationships, and then I'm going to sit down. No. Okay, can I ask the married couples, you two, just to stand on this side, and then I'll leave the two ladies here. Abigail, just on this side. Okay, where's my other mic? I'm going to switch over again because I'm going to give it over to them. So if you give me a minute. Norbert, are we ready? Okay, I want to say this to you. We've got two couples here that didn't know that, so they don't know what they're supposed to answer. So I hope it works out. I want to talk about relationships this morning, wherever we are. Like I say, we're all in different phases in our relationships. And the enemy is coming for that. Whether you're married or not, or whether you're in this church or not, maybe somewhere else, a different family, you're in a relationship somewhere. And the same principle applies to them all. Jesus and his disciples were in relationship, and then something happened to them, and they all fled. So, let me just get it right. Let me do this first. Oh, no, I'm gonna interview them first. Here I've got two ladies. They represent different times. Carol? Ages groups as well, but that's not appropriate this morning. Maybe I should start with Abigail. Abigail, when did you join the church?
It's probably a month ago. Yeah.
Month ago. Did you? Now you have to answer right. Okay.
I signed the forms a month ago.
You signed the forms. That's good. That's good. Okay. We just still have to introduce her. But can you tell the group? Now you can't say no. Oh no. Are you enjoying your time at Shofar at the moment, at this new family of yours?
Definitely.
That there's been strange things, that's normal. If we move from one family to wherever, that would be normal. But you're enjoying your new experience as a family where God has planted you.
Yeah, yes.
Now, Carol's been here a little bit longer. Even before Shofar, if you know the history of the church, this church has evolved and eventually became Shofar as it's known today. But I think she's been part of that before that even. So, Carol, if you can tell the group, how long have you been part from the beginning till now, more or less?
Before Shofar.
Before Shofar. Because I see that as part of the story, where it all began. Yeah, just how long?
22 years. I've been worshipping in this place.
Okay. That's a very, very long time, okay? For some of us, we're not even that old, okay? But that's a testimony. Carol, I just mean it. This as a, yeah, okay. Now on this side we've got two married couples. Okay, I'll start on this side. Let's start with Ruan and them. When did you guys get married? Tell them, Marika. I'll give it to you because they might make a mistake. Okay.
The 9th of February, 2013.
Okay, so it's almost just over a year. And did you enjoy marriage so far, Ruan?
If I knew it was gonna be this good, I would have gotten married earlier.
Amen. And Ruan just got 10 out of 10 when he's going home now. Okay, I'm going to ask Christine, how long have they been married now?
It will be 25 years next month.
Okay, now I have to ask Mark. Has there been challenges in your marriage? So in the 25 years.
No.
Thank you. You may be seated. You may take your seats. Thanks. And Mark just gave my sermon away. Now I have to rephrase. Okay. Right. You know, honeymoon is nice, but honeymoon doesn't last. I know we all think that. And then the reality strikes us. I like this church. This church is so nice. You're such beautiful people. But a year down the line, I found out that I've been disappointed. Somewhere down the line, something happened. Because we're just humans. I love you so much, I almost say that to you, Gerkie, but anyway, I love you as well. I love you so much. You tell that to your hubby or to your wife, and you're so in love, and it's supposed to be like that. But then somewhere down the line, something happens. The fire alarm is activated. The fire breaks out, and somewhere, sometime, we are not necessarily the one causing the fire. Sometimes God allows the fire to spread. But before we go to the fire, I want us to take us back to that. And I've got it here this morning. I've got the vows that I so often read to our married couples when we marry them. And he says, it just goes like this. The bridegroom would take you, Marika, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, in prosperity and adversity, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish and to honor in the Lord. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God till death do us part, according to God's holy law. And this is my solemn vow. And you know that this is such powerful words when we say that. I don't think when we stand there, it's such a beautiful day, romantic day, and da-da-da, and all of that goes with it. But I sometimes think we do not really realize what we said there. Now I've got the membership form here. Because we had members here as well. And we'll get to the membership a little bit later. Because it's not about the form and the paper. Can I just say that many marriages end in the divorce court. Because it's not about that piece of paper it's about what you do before God. And that piece of paper means nothing if me and you hasn't reached that place where we're before God. That's why anybody can get married and anybody can get divorced, and it's so easy to do that. But when you go back to what you said there before God, that's why it's difficult for a husband and a wife that truly loves the Lord, that truly wants to place Him first in their lives, to go past the divorce court. In the sense that if we both seek Him for the challenge in our marriage, and we both are at the place, I say both, because sometimes one is not at the place where it's supposed to be, then seriously, divorce is not an option. And I'm not saying that because I'm still in the process. I'm still on the wheel. I am looking up to the people that's been married for 25 years and all of that. The same applies to me. But sometimes honeymoon is over, the fire breaks out, and what do I do? Sometimes the honeymoon church will end. Many people never reach the place of membership. Now, membership is not going to take you into heaven. Can you just clarify that? You are not going to heaven just because you belong to Shofar. And you decided to become a member. And you decided to put your signature here at the bottom here. What's happening at membership? We're cutting the same thing. We're cutting covenant. We're saying to one another, I acknowledge this is my family. This is the place that God has placed me. I accept you. I love you. Now listen to the things that we say in our membership. I regard this local church with its leadership as my spiritual home and fellowship base to be nurtured, fed, empowered, and protected. I intend to serve and support the vision of the church. I accept, as just a few of them, a personal place in prayer and intercession for others, and undertake to grow into the freedom of giving thereby complying with the biblical call of giving, which includes my time, my talents, and my finances. As far as my finances are concerned, I understand the threefold biblical mode of giving to be full tithes, free will offerings, and almsgiving. And by doing so, it will allow the church to minister. We didn't talk about finances this morning. Another one. I desire to grow spiritually and purpose to attend and support the services, events, and courses offered, where possible, to enable me to become all God has called me to be and do. A lot of us miss this thing. A lot of us just, you want us to get sign up and we another number on the book. That's not what it's about. If you saw it like that when you became a member, please come and talk to me. We'll do the whole process again with you so that you can understand the spiritual significance of what you're doing. The point I'm trying to make by reading the vows and the membership is trying to take you back to that moment when we said, yes, I do. I'll be there for you in sickness and health, in good and bad. But life is not like that. Like Mark had the wrong answer there, sorry. But I'll give you the right answer. Marriage is not always nice. Ruan? No. We have the fires in our marriage. We have those things that happen in our relationships. Not just marriage. The single people can listen to this as well, because it applies to us as well. Or you're just in the church, if you're a member, it applies to all of us then. The fire sometimes break out. And I found in the body of Christ that there's two responses that take place when the fire breaks out. As I go back to Mark 14, when Jesus, were in relationship with his disciples, walking for 3 years with them, day after day after day, they saw thousands of miracles. They probably were supposed to be so close to Jesus. The moment the fire broke out, Mark 14:50, they all fled. You know, when I read that for this week again, it just struck me again how lonely Jesus must have been at that moment. I don't think we just read over that verse like they all fled. Imagine you pour your life into somebody for 3 years. You disciple them. They saw the miracles. They saw you the Son of God. And now that we're in the mulekate, in the trouble, when the fire is there, we decide to run off. I find that we have two responses in the body when it gets to things like that. When the fire breaks out. And sometimes, you know, people, it's not our fault. Sometimes somebody else make a mistake or make a decision in the church environment. Or you just, as a result of relationship, something else happens, but you affect it through relationship. Not necessarily you that contributed to that decision, but we affect it as a result of relationship. You have one of two choices. You either run away, flee, scatter, become confused, conspire, running around to any person so that I can just talk about this, or I can run back to him and remain calm and remain focused. Still, same storm, same fire, but a different reaction. And I want to emphasize it this morning that there are fires that sometimes coming. That's not our choice. Sometimes God orchestrates that. Sometimes he allows that. Sometimes the enemy causes the fire. Sometimes God allows it. Paul, standing on the island of Malta, in Acts we read that. He's warming himself at the fire. And then, you know the story. When he lights the fire, the next thing, a snake comes out and he bites him on his hand. I love Paul's response. Just shake it off. Some of us would run to the doctor and we start panicking. What's happening here? I've been bit by a snake. I'm dying. And others would just be calm. And the Lord is in control here. Shake it off. And remain focused. And the rest of the group were just standing here. When are you going to die? When are you going to die? This fire has to be. When are you going to die? The snake just. But Paul knew. I'm in control of the situation. God is in control of the situation. God is in control of my life. I find still the same responses today in every relationship. When you hit the bump in the road of your relationship, what are you doing? Are you running around to 10 friends trying to talk about this thing instead of getting to the Lord and just remain calm and say, God, we are at a place where we got to seek you now, right now. And another friend's ear or wouldn't help, or are you focusing on him when the fire breaks out? Do you know the procedures? Do you know how to do or what to do in that moment when fire breaks out in this this church? Suppose. Do you know where to run to? Or you run around scattering. We don't know what to do now. Do you know in the Bible times when they, I don't know if they do it still today like that with the procedures, but I know in Bible times when they had to make olive oil, they would take the olive, and the only way how they can subtract or, not subtract, what's the word, detract, extract, detract, no, where did that come from? Extract oil from the olive is to press it. Press it. And oil is a symbol of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God needs to press and press. And it feels like, God, I can't anymore. My marriage can't take this anymore. My life can't take this anymore. And if I allow him, something beautiful is going to come out of that. The fire is so hot, Lord. It burns. Lord, I can't take this in this church anymore. But if I allow God just to press, oil is going to come forth. It's going to bring something pure out of here. But you know, the fire does three things. I want to talk about that this morning. That the first thing it does, it exposes my heart. It exposes my heart. And I want to say this. Jeremiah 17:9, you can just write it down. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Peter was the first one to say, Lord, they all might, not me. Oh, Lord, they will betray you. Not me, Lord. Seriously. I do. So, doesn't that sound familiar? I do. I love you. I'll be there for you. You don't think like that when you stand there before God. You don't think about divorce in the back of your mind. I don't think so. You said in good and bad. I do. Same thing. Membership. I just used the comparison this morning. I do. This is the place God has placed me. I'll be here. I'll serve the vision. I'll serve. I'll get myself involved. And. You don't come in, unfortunately nowadays it does happen. A lot of us, and we'll get to that later. We come in with the back door already open. But then we make these vows, we have these values what we live according to, and then something happens. And then when the fire breaks out, when the pressure is applied on our lives, we have the chance to look at our own hearts, and it exposes. That's the first thing this morning. It exposes my heart. My heart, I'm saying. Because all of us, I have found that God often uses people 99% of time to expose my own heart. Because if you're an island, it's so difficult. You know, that's why I say, and when I got that revelation the first time, it just opened up. How can God expose something in your heart if there was such thing as perfect leadership? I mean, then I wouldn't make a mistake and you can't get offended. I mean, then I will be God. Or anybody else who is in a leadership relationship, man, husband, wife, lala. But God used that impurity or the mistake or the shortcoming, whatever it might be, not saying impurity, sorry. Shortcoming. And then he wants to see what's your reaction to that. Wife to husband. I see this and then something manifests. My heart is exposed. See, Peter didn't know the condition of his own heart at that moment. That's why he was so cheap and quick to say, oh Lord, never me. Maybe them, but not me. And the Lord knew what was in his heart. He let him go through the whole process so that he, Peter, could see what is in his own heart. Here's the problem we face. God allows us to go through the fire. Our hearts are exposed. Our marriage, suddenly we're at a difficult place in our marriage. But I'm so focused upon the other party and about his mistakes and what he does wrong and why I should feel like I feel, that I miss out in this godly moment when God wants to just pause time, allow me to look into my own life. I'm not saying that the other person is not a right or wrong. I'm just talking about when God is the Romans 8:28 God that works all things together for good, that he used this whole situation to purify me. That's why grace cannot be released when justification is still in process. Self-righteousness. Oh, but this is why I supposed, why I feel like I feel, and this is what you did, and that, and we can give all the list, and yes, you're probably right. And we can fix that part of it. But here on this side, God wanted to do something, but I was just so blinded by the mistakes and the shortcomings of the other person, and what I see, and what I perceive, and how I want it, and how I expect it to be, that God can't finish with me. And I just walk around the mountain again. Grace is released when me and you, when we reach a place of honesty, when we come to a place where we say, God, I see that. I find it amazed that we so often fool the Lord, myself, I'm just talking about myself, that I think I can hide and sometimes ignore or just don't go there. Don't think about it. And the Lord says, I want to press on that thing a little. And then we're just so ignorant about that. The Lord knew anyway what's happening. He knew. He knows my heart. He knows exactly what's there. He knows me better than I know myself. Than Peter knew himself. Peter thought he knew. But the Lord knew there was something that he needed to deal with. And the Lord would take us into that situation. He will apply heat. See, when you do not know there's a snake in your relationship, in your marriage, in your church, just apply a little bit of heat and the snake would come forth, you know. It's amazing how the snakes just come forth out of that in the moment. My heart is exposed. The other day I was in a situation in the course of a month. Incidents sounds a bit funny. Two situations, both persons, I wouldn't say if it's female or male, it's not relevant this morning, but both person, same challenge, problem. The one gives me justification. This is why, and how, and why I feel like I feel. And this is why I feel I've got the reason to feel like I feel. Other person comes back and says, I see in my own life there's something wrong here. Now, it doesn't make the other party right or wrong in the sense that when there's relationship and we sometimes disappoint one another. I'm talking about when God works with me. This person says to me, I see my mistake. I see God is working with you. Pray with me. Help me here. I just stand there. I'm just like, God, you must be blessed with this. You surely must be blessed with such a heart that's willing to be honest with you. I can just see how you can bless. And that's why the Lord says he will personally resist you and me. If we have pride in our hearts. That's a place where I don't have to fight. You don't have to fight about that. That's a dangerous place to be. Because God says he will humble you personally. That is not a place you want to be. There's not a place you want to be. To be so filled with pride. Because grace can't be released. You see, grace is that thing that's in empowering presence. And it's just so powerful. To realize what grace really is. Once you come to that realization, it's not just getting things for free and now I've got my life. I mean, I didn't deserve to be a child of God and now Christ accepted Christ and now he's given me eternal life. It's more than that. Yes, that and more. Grace is this morning when God's empowering presence is given to you to overcome in a certain situation. And when me and you are reaching such a place of honesty, when we're in the fire, when our hearts are exposed, and God looks at us and says, I can work there. This person has reached a place of honesty. Forget about the rest. Yes, grace. Use that grace to overcome. Use that grace to become stronger. You know, when I... Ever since I understood it that way, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed, Lord, give me grace. Give me grace. Because I know my marriage. I know in relationships, you know, I fall short in so many areas. And I don't know why it's in church that we offer, that we have such expectations of one another. That's not biblical. We just under Jesus, we put this expectation upon people. You must be, now that you call yourself a Christian, you must be 99.999% just over at a place where you pass into becoming a saint and you're with Jesus now. And we have such an expectation, maybe in our marriages sometimes, high expectation of what we ought to be and what we should look like. Then when reality hits us and we're somewhere down away from honeymoon, something happens and there's a disappointment and we're all offended. And we don't know what to do. And we're looking up to people. We have leaders and we have people around us. People, and things happen, and yes, it does happen. But that's life. What do you do with that? You don't run away. Because the fire will come again. But what am I going to learn from this? Lord, what do you want to tell me? How am I going to strengthen my marriage if this is happening to my brother and sister and this side? Apart from the fact that I'm praying for them and I love them and I care for them. But God, what are you saying to me and my wife this morning? To our marriage? To me? That's happening out there. But am I so blinded by the other mistakes? I'm so focused upon that just to justify myself so that I feel better and you'll feel better for a short while. But God help you that you'll reach a place where you will reach a place of honesty. Because you'll go around that mountain for many, 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 many years. And God will have to use a similar scenario to bring you to that place where you can just reach a place of honesty. Lord, I see what you see. I agree, Lord. You see, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. We heard that scripture before. Three reasons why you and me need to do that. First of all, it's valuable. Our heart is valuable to the Lord. And out of it, we connect with people. If there's something in my heart, and we connect with the Lord as well. If something has happened in my heart that pierced my heart, or disappointment, it's hard to connect with Saki. It's hard because there's something in my heart. That's why the Bible says, protect your heart. Protect your heart, because that's the issue. That's where we build relationship. That's why Jesus knew, I'll go for the heart. I won't go for the externals. The Pharisees were very concerned about the hairstyle and the clothing. We still do that today. The hairstyle. I don't like Saki's hair. That's not biblical, okay? Saki, can I tell you why that's not biblical? No, okay. I don't like your clothes. We so focus on the exterior. I find it amongst our leaders at the moment as well sometimes that we so focus on the exterior that we miss the heart, that this person is just seeking the Lord. Well, we focus so much on the fruit and the issues. The Lord says, I just want to get to the heart. Let me just get to the heart and I'll get the fruit eventually. Your heart is valuable. It connects you to God. It connects you to people. Out of your heart, what's the next one there? You can jump down to the next one. It's the source of everything you do. For out of it flows the thoughts, the actions, the words. And it's a constant battle zone. Constantly, the enemy is in battle for your heart, to try and win your heart. And daily, maybe weekly, maybe monthly for us, there's a chance to get offended. There's a chance to get disappointed. There's a chance in your marriage. There's a chance in church. If you haven't had that before, please make up your mind it's going to come. Abigail, I'm just joking with you. You're new with us. But I'd rather tell you the reality that it's going to come. But what do you do with it? You're just going to run away and just blame that person and just try and justify why you... Or you're just going to allow the Lord just to purify you and say, Lord, here I am. I was disappointed and... Yes, Lord, I know this is just human. But I still love him. I still honor him. Still love her. Still honor her. But Lord, you are the perfect one. Lord, I allow you to deal with me. Secondly, apart from the fact that it exposes our heart, the fire will cause us to release words. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. You see, the moment the pressure is applied, the moment the fire, we're in the middle of the fire, oh, I know. Or we do all kinds of things and we run around and it releases words. And we've got a choice what we're doing with that. We can run around, we can spire, we can explain, we can justify. Or I can just decide I'm going to sanctify those words. I'm going to choose to use that to pray rather. Say, God, I'm struggling here. And Lord, I'm also praying for that party. Not that you will show them what is right. Sometimes we pray like we want that too. Lord, would you just show them what's that I'm the right one and that they can... May the Lord sanctify our prayers as well. You need to be willing to eat the fruit of the words that you sowed. Sometimes we sow terrible words about one another. And it brings forth fruit. Think twice before you use this. Because the fire will release something. But we still have a decision what we do with this when we're in the fire. Am I going to focus on him? Am I going to remain calm? I'm not going to be affected by, although I have pain, although it feels to me I cannot stand it anymore, although it feels to me like the pressure that's applied to me is just, I'm going to take the focus away from me, Lord, and just allow you just to, because me standing in the way here. They tell a story about the, tell you a joke. They tell a story about the lady. She's been married for many, many years, more than Mark and them, maybe 50 years, you know, Anna Lure and them. She was there. She and Daryl's married for 45 years now this year. What an amazing testimony. Anyway, so they asked the lady, so what's the secret to your marriage? Have you ever thought about or considered divorce during this time, in these 45 years? She says, divorce? Never. Never considered divorce. But murder, several times, you know. Yeah. So, no, I'm not saying you should murder. The third thing, apart from the fact that it exposes our hearts and it releases our words. And this is the challenging one. It will challenge you to run away or stay. Any relationship. Run away from the problem or you stay in the midst of that. And again, I want to emphasize this morning. People, we don't always choose the fires. Sometimes it just happens. You don't want to be there, but you are there now. I didn't make this decision, but I'm part of this. And I've been drawn into this. And God, you allowed that to happen, but now I have to deal with that. Mark 14:50 said, they all fled. The ones that were with him every day. Every day. Late at night when the rest of the group departed, when they all gone home, they were with him there. I can imagine the conversations they must have had with Jesus. How close he was with him. Three he was closer to. John he was the closest to. And then one of those three just left. Said, I'm going to run away. I'm not for this. This thing is too much for me. Marriage or divorce court is a proof of what I'm saying this morning. So many of us run away. I'll get the upgrade. We live in a technological, get the better version. I want the younger model. Roof 1, let's just quickly go back there. I'm almost through. And I want to get to the restoration part. That's an exciting part. Roof 1 says, I'll just read it to you. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his sons, two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm so... They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. Can I just share a principle with you here from Scripture? When famine strikes your marriage, your relationship, when it's seeming like there's no rain, God is not into this, or where is God in this church, or where is God in this relationship, do not run away because you'll die, spiritually speaking. Don't go and look for food on the other side because you will die. I'm not saying God never moves people, okay? I'm saying that in context. I'm just saying when we're not willing, because you know what? Satan is afraid of people that's been through the famine, when your marriage has been through the tough times. Because every time when you go through the tough time, when you go through that relationship, and you allow the Lord to press you, anointing is released, something is released, He gives you a weapon to overcome, you become an overcomer in that area, or you overcome in that area. Next time God can use you. You've struggled with finances, you've struggled with something in your marriage, and you just hang in there, and it feels like famine, and it feels like there's fire there. But I'm going to hang in there till the Lord takes us through this time. And I'm going to hang in this congregation, even though it feels to me, but I'm not going to move in my own strength and power. Till the Lord is through with me. Not till the Lord is through with the others. I wouldn't say that. Because we're hoping, oh God, just change us. Let us all just seek the Lord. Let us just all get to a place where we all say to one another, we're going to seek the Lord and we're going to love the Lord and we're going to make mistakes and we're going to disappoint one another. But we're going to trust. And somebody said the other day, it takes courage and faith to pray again, to love again, to forgive again, to trust you again. But that's what a man of God does, irrespective of what happened in the past. And I can choose, and the Bible needs more people with the spirit like Ruth. That's all your people, my people. I'll stay with you. I'm not running away. God planted me here. You're my husband, you're my wife. I'm in this relationship. I'm not running away. And it might feel to us that there's no food anymore. But we serve the God that's still supplying, that were able to give us food in the desert. He's the same God still of my marriage. He's still the same God of this church. Our church. One can run away like Orpah. So many with the Orpah spirit. Because the problem is there. It didn't happen as I expected. Or I wanted it. And it's not based upon obedience. A lot of us seeking other places. Because me standing in the way. I don't like it. I don't think it's supposed to be like that. According to my framework, according to my expectations, rather than just based on pure obedience, bottom line is, what did God say? And if God said stay, then stay. And the issues can be dealt with later. But sometimes I think we're just trying to cut the fruit and the leaves and we're working on the issues and we're not getting to the heart thing because part of that is pride, part of that is just me running around and conspiring and trying to find a solution rather than running to God. And look at this. If we can go to John 21, I'm going to finish now almost. I want to say this as well. When you decide to stay wherever you are in that relationship, we've got that thing in all technology nowadays. You've got that button called reset. You know what? You press that reset button. Everything is cleared. You start all over again. Maybe some of us need to press the reset button again. In your marriage. In your relationships. You got to leave the old stuff behind. Press the reset button a couple of times sometimes down the road. And you'll find out that may be the recipe or the greatest revelation you get for success sometimes down the line. You got to press the reset button and start all over again. And so I'll forgive you. I don't talk about that old stuff anymore because that's deleted now. We'll start over again. I trust you again. I love you again. We're going to start again. John 21. Look at this. John 21 verse 15. Quickly when I run through there. Jesus, we know about Peter. Peter denied Jesus. But this is how beautiful our Lord is. He doesn't leave him there. He doesn't leave Peter there. Peter realized the mistake he made. He realized, Lord, I'm so sorry. The Bible says he wept. He realized at that moment when the rooster, when it crowed, at that moment he realized. I believe conviction came in at that moment and he was reminded of the words of Jesus. He had a godly moment. He was allowed to look at his own heart as God is exposing his heart to himself. Peter was able to look at his own one, not to look at the others. Oh Lord, but the others fled as well. Why are you talking about me? Seriously, Lord, they are just as guilty as me. No. Peter, something happened in Peter's life that would change him from being a fisherman to becoming evangelist. Because he embraced the Lord. He embraced when the Lord allowed him to go through this experience, when he reached that place. Now, listen to this. They are on the Sea of Galilee. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus... Oh, no. Let's go back a little bit earlier. I'll go back to verse 7. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. Where do you run to when you realize you've been wrong or being wronged? Peter had a revelation. I got to run back to Jesus. I can just imagine that Peter was dwelling upon this. I feel so sorry, Lord. I can't face you. I can't face you, Lord. You told me that it will happen, and now it happened. Lord, I'm just so sorry. And I can choose sometimes. I think sometimes we choose not to run to the Lord. I just want to talk to a few friends and just feel a little bit better about that. And I'm just ignoring it to run back to the Lord with everything and my whole problem and just... Peter knew where to run to. Let's carry on. When they got out of the land and they saw charcoal fire in the place with fish laid on it and bread, Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish and the fish that you have just caught." Now let's jump to verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, I love you." He said to you, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, do you know that I love you?" And then he said to him, I tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Jesus, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now there's a lot of sermons around that passage. I don't want to get entangled in that. We can talk a lot about that this morning. Three times Peter denied Jesus. Three times Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" Then you can read a little bit about that. You'll see that the love is distinguishing between different loves. Jesus was talking about agape and phileo. These different, but you can read that for yourself if you want to. I want to talk about the principles we find here. Because I believe that day when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" and he wanted to restore him, he would draw a line forever in history between the talkers and the doers. You say you love me. "Yes, Lord, feed my sheep." You say you love me. "Feed my sheep." See, we get a lot of, I'll use the same example. We get a lot of chickens in marriages and in churches that can lay an egg. But not every chicken can hatch the egg. Sitting on that egg, how long does it take? 21 days? I think it's 21 days. When nothing is happening, but I'm willing to wait here till it brings forth life. A lot of talkers. We talk the talk. We love the Lord. Bless the Lord, and we know all the language, and we have our spiritual language we use in church, and praise the Lord, and hallelujah. But there are a lot of them that feed the sheep. Jesus would draw the line that day. You guys that just lay the eggs in the nest in the church and gone. God is calling you back to come and sit in that egg. And all of us has got an egg this morning. That's got life in it. But it would ask you to sit down there for 21 days and die in yourself. Jesus said, if you're not willing to die, the seed would not come forth. Oh, and we're sitting on the egg, and then after a day, this is not for me. I'm not promoted now. No, I don't like this. No, let's just, if you're willing to sit there and wait. That's why it's so difficult with any ministry starting up. I'm talking about for our media ministry, for instance. It's just so hard to go through this initial phases when the airplane is trying to get off the ground. It's the most difficult time. It takes the most energy and time and all of that. And we don't know what we're doing actually, but we're just in this because we heard the Lord. And we're learning along the way. A lot of people aren't willing to sit there in that 21 days and just trust the Lord. Something will happen in that air. Because in that time when you're sitting down there, the Lord is dealing with me. He allows me to die to my dream actually. He wants me to give it back to Him. Because I'm not serving the egg, I'm serving the Lord. Now we're so protected about my gifting, my talents. Oh, my egg is so beautiful. There's life in here. But I gave that egg to you. You come. I created you. There's a bird, they call it the cuckoo bird. Is that the right pronounce? Cuckoo. Some of the species. Do you know what they would do? He would lay his egg in the other bird's nest. And it would fly away. And expect the other bird to hatch the egg. We find them as well. Do you want to lay the egg there? And I don't want to be the father of that. But I want to give you the idea and I want to run away. And you just, can you just bring that up and sit on that egg for a while and I'll just go and lay another egg there. I'm another talker. Until you've reached that place of doing in Christ. Three principles quickly I want to share before we finish here this morning. In our marriages, in our church, in any relationship where we just use our words so cheaply, God would draw a line and you can use that always. First of all, we need eyes that can see. What do I mean with eyes that can see? God needs to heal our eyes sometimes. We're so focused upon all the wrong and what happened and my pain and the other party and one another that we do not esteem each other anymore higher, as the Bible says. Higher than yourself. God needs to touch my eyes. Where I love them. Where I look at them at a different way. Sometimes you just need to press the reset button in that area and say, Lord, you got to touch my eyes. Because the enemy succeeded to allow me to focus so much on the shortcomings of that other party. And about what's wrong there. And what's not happening. And what's supposed to be like that. That I miss the moment, Lord. I miss out on the beauty that you've given me. And all the blessings. And God sometimes needs to just touch my eyes and say, Lord, just heal me from that cancer that the enemy spread inside of me. But God needs to give us also eyes that can distinguish. This is the other thing. Between wolves and hirelings. Do you know what hirelings do? This week as I was preparing, the Lord just dropped it again in my spirit. And it's just so sad, people, that we find these people in the body. I'm not saying in the church necessarily. But a hireling would use the sheep for his own advantage. It doesn't stand in relationship. And now we're getting a little bit closer. That's why I say, if people never want to become a member, I put a question mark on that. Not because you don't belong to us and you should look like us. No, no, no. Then we need to bless you because then there's a family somewhere else where you say, I do. Where you say, I belong here. But if you never reach that place, it tells me you keep the door, a back door open there somewhere, just in case things doesn't happen out here the way I expected it to be, then I'm off. And we're caught up in spiritual adultery. I can stay and I have all the benefits of living together. I mean, that's what the people in the world do. Why would we get married? I mean, listen, man, we can sleep together. We can have all the benefits, what they say you can have. But I don't go to the marriage part. Because that means I'll have to say, I do. And No. Let's not go to there. No, go there. I want to be part of this family. But let's not push it too much to the membership part. And again, I'm not saying it's about the paper. Please hear my heart this morning. It's about what you say when you come to that place. When I do, Lord, I realize it's here. You need to say that to me, to leadership, to people. I accept that. I accept this is my house. I accept this is my place where I'm going to be fit. But there are hirelings out there, and guys, we need to keep our eyes open. The moment when things doesn't happen anymore, I can prophesy, and I want to bring you word, and I want to practice my gifts on you, and I want to do all of that, and minister to you. But I don't want to be part of the family. I want to be in the group, and I want the advantages of everything you have. That's why I say, you know, if you're part of it, and it works like this in our church, you're part of the outer group and you grow and you grow, you grow inner. And when you reach a place, that's why I'm passionate about home cells. Because that's where you looked after, that's where you care. If you're not there, that means you won't have some of the can I say privileges? Because that's where the core is. We care people. We care for people. We equip them, and then we send them out again, and then bring them in, and then work them in from that way. But if I always want to stay on the outside, I'm afraid I might get hurt. A lot of times that is the case. There are people out there that's been hurt, been disappointed. But sometime we need to reach that place and say, Lord, I'm going to trust again. I have been disappointed by church stuff, by relationships, by people, by my husband, by my wife, whatever. If you're not willing to be hurt, you can't love. It's just that simple. Love is taking risk to be disappointed. If you think that you've loved or you love and you don't, or you keep your heart for yourself, that's not real love. Secondly, our hands need to be dirty. We need eyes that can see and hands that are dirty. Charles Spurgeon said this, a mother tires not of watching by the bedside of a sick child because love sustains her. She will outlast the paid nurse by many an hour. And again, it's the same thing between talking and doing. A lot of talkers, but a lot of them, if you look at their hands, it's clean. I can talk about my marriage forever and about our challenges, but if I'm not willing to get my hands dirty and do something about what I need to do, what the Lord shows me, or in this church, wherever God plants you, you've got clean hands, my brother and sister. And the last one, we need feet that can go. Willing to walk. What do I say with it? If God touches your feet this morning, that means you're the first one to initiate restoration. You're the first one to go. You're the first one to go and say sorry. You're the first one to go and repent. You're the first one to be willing to be an instrument in the hand of the Lord, to go out to the lost, to go out there to restore that relationship. Because God has touched my feet. I'm not paralyzed. I'm not disabled. And with all due respect to any disabled person, but there are a lot of disabled people in the body of Christ. Paralyzed. Caught up in my own life. Do you know what? Friday morning in India, the story. We so focused on ourselves, on me, and I feel so sorry. And that's why tonight is such a blessing, I believe. If you really want to come, we're talking about the Jezebel spirit, so be prepared. When I say that is just with all due respect, it's just because some of us have different expectations, but I really believe that the Lord would bless all of us there. Nevertheless, coming back, sometimes we're so caught up in me and my world and what I've been wrong and I've, you know, I grew up and you don't understand where I come from and this happened to me as a result of my parents. And yes. But how long are you going to carry that stuff with you and bring it into every relationship? And continue to focus on you. Friday morning, I was sitting with a pastor from Bhutan. A few of the people, they invited me in Walvis Bay Community Church is in relationship with the church in Bhutan. It's the Buddhist capital of the world. And he says, the pastor got up, he's sharing what they're doing. 10 years ago, they were a church of 30 when the church got involved. And then they started supporting them. They're more than 1,000 now. Anyway, the pastor says, he puts up a picture of a family there. He says, this family, they walk to church 6 hours on a Sunday. And I'm still in my own world, you know, shall I go to church? I didn't feel like it this morning, you know, shall I maybe? It just gives me a new perspective on how the people in the persecuted church are so different. The pastor says this, and I'll end with this. He says, there's two qualifications for somebody to be a leader in our church. First of all, he needs to be willing to open his house. And secondly, he must be willing to die. That's all. Theological training is afterwards. And I think we fight about people. We appoint people as leaders and we struggle to get them to leaders' meetings and to all of these things. And we're so caught up in our own world that sometimes we need the ointment of that just to heal our eyes and say, Lord, what are we busy with here? Me standing so much in the way that you cannot work. Let's close our eyes. I just believe And out of respect for what God wants to do this morning, I'm not going to... Sometimes I believe there's a place for that more than needed. And we get up and we just acknowledge and we are honest with the Lord where we are. Because that would just help us to let that pride die inside of us. But this morning I won't do that this morning. I just want to give you a fair chance just to respond to that. And while nobody's looking around, I'm not going to call you to the front. I saw the picture in my mind of a lot of walls representing our relationships, but with cracks in it. And what the Lord wants to do this morning is just to mend that crack, just to fill it up. And maybe you standing in a relationship, I don't know where, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in the church, whether it's in any capacity this morning. But you see there's a crack, there's an area where you got disappointed, where you feel that didn't turn out to be the way I expected it to be, or whatever it might be this morning. While nobody's looking around, I just want you to acknowledge that and say, Lord, I need that. I'm just going to pray for those of us that need that prayer. Not to call you to the front, I promise you, but just to reach that place of honesty. Just to give me indication. So I see that crack in that wall, and I need to invite the Lord just to fill that up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. For some of us, it might mean that you have to get your hands dirty during this week. For some of us, it means we'll probably have to ask the Lord just to heal our feet and to initiate something new. Or touch our eyes this morning. Last year, I came back and I had this discussion with my wife and our marriage and etc. And just to close the doors in any possible way. Sometimes you just got to do that. Sometimes you just got to sit down and say, listen, we're just going to look at our marriage again and we're just going to close any possible door for the enemy. And yes, we fail and yes, we sometimes disappoint one another and all of that. But, you know, God gives us those keys and He gave it to me and I knew I had to do that, you know. And sometimes we'll have to do that in our relationships. Just to go back to the Lord and run back to Him and say, Lord, touch my eyes, touch my hands, touch my feet this morning. Lord, and Lord, would you mend that crack this morning? But Lord, give enable me this morning for grace, Lord, just to do what you called me to do, that little bit that I need to do. Maybe in your marriage, maybe in any other relationship, maybe in this church this morning. You need to get your hands dirty. You've been a talker for such a long time, but God wants to move you into a place where you can be so effective in the kingdom of God. It's not about getting you busy. It's not about getting another Sunday out of you or another week's night from you. It's about being effective in the kingdom of God. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we realize our shortcomings. We realize, Lord, that we're so often being set up for disappointment. We're so often being set up for offense, Lord. But, Lord, whether we agree with that or not this morning, Lord, whether we want that or not to happen, Lord, it happens. And Father, this morning we know that it will still continue to happen. But this morning we thank you, Lord, that you would just come and you fill the crack, Lord. That crack where the relationship was just, there was a damage in the relationship this morning. Father, I thank you that you are the one that heals and restores. And you just fill in something there, Lord, that you can only do this morning. Sometimes, Father, we run out of excuses. Sometimes we just reach a place where we do not have the answers anymore. But, Lord, we know you are the answer this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would just come and do that, Lord. Miraculously, Lord. And, Father, I pray for our eyes this morning. Touch our eyes. Give us the ointment of revelation, Lord, that will heal our eyes, that will see nations, Lord, that will see the lost out there, Lord, that will take our eyes away from ourselves and have self-pity. And, Father, to love one another, husband and wife, Lord, in a new way, Father, in our relationships at church, Lord, strengthen us. Father, I pray that you will help us, Lord, that we will start get our hands dirty, Lord, and our feet, Lord, as you touch us, Lord, that we will be willing to go, Lord. And as you go, my presence go with you. Amen.